Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the epistle found in Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is God's word. In the church, there are lots of words that we use that maybe we don't often stop to think about their meaning, to contemplate the significance of what those words are saying. I think one of those words is grace. We talk about God showing his grace toward us. What is grace? It's God's undeserved love. The love that he shows you that you do not deserve. You have done nothing to earn it. But it is simply in God's nature to be that loving, kind, and gracious God toward you. In the epistle tonight from Titus 2, Paul tells us that the grace of God has appeared. Grace is not just some abstract thing out there we don't really understand. Grace is shown to us in the one who is born in Bethlehem. The one who is heralded by the angels is the one, Paul says, who brings salvation for all people. Paul tells us he is our blessed hope. Grace, salvation, and hope all brought to the people of earth in the baby born of Mary. Just how amazing is this undeserved love of God, that God would go to such great lengths to save his people by taking on humanity himself, the Son becoming human flesh, born of Mary to be our Savior, to give us grace, salvation, and hope. The grace of God, Paul says, has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. We are slaves of those things, ungodliness, worldly passions. Those things that chain us down, those things that hold us to this world and keep us from focusing on the world that is to come. And you and I can't renounce those worldly passions, those ungodly things, unless Jesus is born of Mary. Jesus is indeed born this day in the city of David to be a Savior. But more than that, he is born to be your Savior. In that child born in Bethlehem, the grace of God has appeared. Even more than that, that grace has appeared for you. By him taking on the weakness and the frailty of being a newborn. Many of you here have experienced childbirth, the women more so than the men from a whole other perspective. But you know how weak and helpless a newborn child is, so delicate, so dependent upon everyone else for care. And that whole time of a child being delivered is nerve-wracking. Will everything go right? Could something bad happen? Newborn children are so vulnerable to everything. And yet, despite this, our Lord Jesus Christ embraced the vulnerability of being a newborn. He took on humanity and placed himself in the care of his mother Mary and his guardian Joseph. This child, Jesus Christ, is born for wretched, miserable people like you and me who are enslaved to ungodliness and worldly passions. Ungodliness means you and I are guilty of those sins that do not honor God, the one who rules over all things. We would rather place ourselves in control of life than allow God to be our ruler. Worldly passions are those things of the world that become the center of our life. They're things that are not evil in and of themselves, but the world tells us to be filled with passion for them. For example, alcohol isn't evil, but a worldly passion for alcohol is. Sex isn't evil, but a worldly passion for sex is. Having a career certainly isn't evil, but having a worldly passion for your career is. Wretched, miserable people like you and me take these things and we worship them. We make our existence revolve around the size of our paycheck, the next bottle of booze, or the next person to get in our bed. And yet, not just in spite of this, but because of this, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He was born for the very purpose of saving the people that you and I are. He endured the vulnerability of a newborn, the trappings and weakness of being a human, because he is the grace of God that appeared to all people. In Jesus Christ, you and I see God's grace. In our service earlier this evening, we heard from 1 John chapter 4, where John says the love of God is made manifest in Jesus Christ. Something tangible, something visible. And Paul is saying the exact same thing here, that in Jesus, God's grace has appeared. It's not just something you imagine, but something that you can take hold of. Something that God gives concretely for you. God invites you tonight to look into the manger and to see the grace that he has for you. It's visible. It's real. You can see it. Of course, none of us can literally look into the manger. We have a creche here next to the altar. We have the one outside, but that's not where Jesus was born, and he's not in there at this moment. We're not like the shepherds in the regard that we can stare into the manger and see the baby who is God dwelling with humanity. We can't be like the wise men from the east who bring gifts before him and kneel before him. But we do see the grace of God appear to us in the manger of bread and wine. Just as Jesus Christ was laid by his parents in an animal feed box, so tonight, God the Father has put his Son where we can eat him and where we can drink him. God the Father has caused his grace to appear to us. His Son Jesus appears in bread and wine that we might taste the grace of God itself. This meal, this Holy Communion, is the meal of God's grace. It's the appearing of God's undeserved love. Our place at this table is not some work that we do for God. It's not an obligation that we fulfill. It's not some sort of sacrifice. It's a meal for sinners who desire to know God's grace, his undeserved love. And there you find a God who withholds his judgment. You find a God who does not come to punish you. You find a God who wants you to know the love he showed you by sending Jesus Christ to be offered into death on a cross. Here, the grace of God appears to you by offering you the very body and blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross 2,000 years ago. Here, the child born in Bethlehem is the meal being offered for forgiven sinners. Tonight, at this Christmas midnight service, we will gather to receive Christ's body and blood. And when we're done, we will sing a communion hymn that's probably unfamiliar to some of you. It's a really, really beautiful hymn. It's called, "The Infant Priest Was Wholly Born." And in that hymn, we sing, "The infant priest was wholly born, for us unholy and forlorn. From fleshly temple forth came he, anointed from eternity. This great high priest in human flesh was icon of God's righteousness. His hallowed touch brought sanctity, his hand removed impurity." The hymn goes on to sing about Jesus, who is our priest, born to be a priest for you and me. The job of a priest, of course, is to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. Jesus is the great high priest because not only does he offer a sacrifice for the people, well, he is the sacrifice for the people. He is both priest and sacrificial animal. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. While most of us look at the manger and see a place where Jesus is with the cows and the sheep, the manger is an altar. In that manger, the place where the animals ate, we see why God has appeared to us in this way. He's come to die. He's come to be eaten, not by cows and sheep, but by the people of God to whom grace has appeared. Dearest friends in Jesus Christ, God's grace has appeared to you this night. It has appeared to you not only in the manger that we remember, it appears to you tonight in the Christ Mass, from which we get the term Christmas. We don't often use the term Mass in the Lutheran Church. It's generally used by our friends in the Catholic Church to refer to a service which has the Lord's Supper. But it's appropriate for us tonight, for us to remember that Christ comes to us, born to us, the grace of God appearing to us and for us and given to us in bread and wine. In this meal, we see what Paul referred to as the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, filling us with a blessed hope that only He can provide. Our hope tonight is found nowhere else but in Christ alone. Tonight, we receive this grace and this hope, knowing that Christ alone is the one who comes to free us from ungodliness and worldly passions. To this Christ, the sacrifice for our sins, the infant priest born for us, the one who gives himself in body and blood for you and me, the newborn king, to him be glory, honor, and praise, now and in eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.